And joining me right now here on the phone line for a Tuesday, this guy does a great job with Brevard Sports Network. He's my good friend, Alan Slaughterzinski. Alan, how you doing today?
Mark, I'm doing great. I just want to know when we move to the great state of Arizona, Mark. That's all I want to know. It no longer rains here on the east coast of Florida. Last night I woke up about 3:30 in the morning, Mark, and I walked out onto my back porch, and I was taking a sip of water, just kind of looking around, and I saw lightning in the distance. And I got excited for a minute because I thought maybe, perhaps, it would rain. But no, it stayed 50 miles away.
Do you think it's now going to rain every single day moving forward after what you just said?
No, it'll wait till Friday nights in about 3 weeks, and then it'll rain every Friday night. And high school football won't kick off until 9 o'clock. And there'll be several postponements, and then we're going to have to juggle youth football. And so that's when it'll all happen.
Oh.
I mean, let's be honest.
I like this. Alan getting up at 3:30 in the morning, and he's looking at the distance.
Old, Mark. Believe me when I tell you that's not the only time in the middle of the night that I'm
it's
up.
It's okay. Dude, I do the same thing. It's all right. You're okay. You were telling me off air, is there a billboard in Rockledge for Jacksonville Jaguar football?
There is. I saw it about 2 weeks ago, and I almost wrecked the car. It is unbelievable. But look, I think the Jaguars can be good this year, Mark. I really believe that. I don't think that division belongs to the Indianapolis Colts or the Tennessee Titans just because Matt Ryan's there at quarterback or just because the Titans have owned that division. Look, the Jaguars have more talent. They're better defensively. They've only had 4 wins in the past 2 seasons. I get that, and depth is a concern with this program, yes. But they are in a lot better shape than they were with Urban Meyer, who was a train wreck from the start. Doug Peterson has come in. He has really slowed the roll in terms of backing this franchise up and putting them in a position where they need to be. I don't think they're the last place team, Mark, in this division anymore.
Wait, what's on this billboard? Does it have players?
It just got Trevor Lawrence on it with the schedule, and it says call for Jaguar season tickets.
I've never been to a Jaguars game. Have you?
Yes, I've been to several. I actually have a friend of mine that works in the PR department for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's an outstanding guy, and I got to know him a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember. I actually used to do a Baltimore Ravens podcast on Monday nights called Ravens Monday Night Quarterback. And this was actually a podcast that was endorsed by the Baltimore Ravens. I had co-host on this podcast. I did it for 3 seasons. And for 2 of the 3 seasons, Mark, Ernest Biner was a co-host for 1 season. I think you remember that.
Yeah.
And I also had former Ravens linebacker and University of Miami linebacker Tavares Gooden as a co-host for 1 season. And we used to get some great guests on the show. And because of that, I was able to get in with the National Football League. As you know, NFL Communications is an outstanding website. And I think you and I really mutually discovered that together. And we've been to Pro Bowls. You've been to Radio Row. So as long as you do your due diligence, you can become, and you're in the media, you can become credentialed in the National Football League. So, yes, I've attended several Jacksonville Jaguars games, and one of them was against the Ravens. I actually had the opportunity to go into the press room, and John Harbaugh and Justin Tucker and Joe Flacco. Terrell Suggs. Had an opportunity to interview them all.
That's really cool, dude. You did that. I believe you're going to Jaguars camp later this week. Are you excited for this?
Yes, I am, and I'm excited to see how this camp runs. I'm also excited for a mutual friend of ours, Mark, a guy that you had on the show back in February, I believe it was, PJ Jack. Coach Jack is one of 8 coaches that are working with the Jaguars during training camp in the Bill Walsh Diversity Coaching Fellowship Program. It's an outstanding program. As you know, PJ Jack is, you want to talk about a diverse coaching career. He's got a high football IQ. He's great offensively. Former offensive coordinator for Space Coast, Titusville, and Cocoa Beach. And, of course, former offensive coordinator for the Orlando Predators as well. So spent 2 years with Lovie Smith in Tampa Bay as their youth development coordinator. So P.J. Jack's the right man to be in that program. And I really think that P.J. Jack's future lies coaching in the National Football League. He's coaching the wide receivers up there this camp.
That's really cool, dude. And I hope you get to do a conversation with him later this week, and we'll watch it. And yeah, PJ's a nice guy, and good luck to him on the future. What do you think about, you know, you're going to go see Trevor Lawrence. What do you want to see from him in year two?
I want to see leadership. You know, I want to see, you know, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, the way I approach this year, Mark, is I completely and utterly shake off last year. I act like last year never happened. You know, I mean,
I agree.
If you're Trevor Lawrence, you have got to think in your mind, what the hell did I just go through? I mean, you come from one of the best run programs in college football, Clemson, and one of the best head coaches in all of football, in Dabo Sweeney. And you got this buffoon in Urban Meyer coaching you, not catching flights back with the team, hanging out with women that aren't his wife. I mean, what are you thinking as a rookie in the national? Is this the way it's going to be? So if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I think psychologically you have to put last season out of your mind. Forget about anything and everything last year. I mean, look, he didn't have a horrific season, Mark. 3,640 or 50 yards passing. Yeah, he only had 12 touchdowns and 17 interceptions, but that's the part you have to put out of your mind, 71 quarterback rating. But look, if I'm Trevor, I'm out there, I'm refreshed. I know I have a coach that took Nick Foles to the Super Bowl and put 40 points on the New England Patriots and made Nick Foles a Super Bowl MVP. So if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm excited, and I've got a lot of faith in my head coach now.
That'll be exciting to see him in person. He can throw that deep ball. He was the number one pick. I want to see, like, if you're going, and then what about the number one pick from this past draft, the Walker guy? What do you want to see from him?
Well, I want to see what I call rookie hustle. I want to see him out there playing like a veteran. I want to see him out there playing like the number one, practicing, I should say, yeah, like the number one pick that he is, Mark. I think you have a responsibility as a number one pick, and I want to see that from him. I think when you are drafted number one overall from the defensive position, there is no wait and see. You're expected to come in and immediately be a leader, and I think that's what I want to see from him.
All right, I'm excited you're going to go. So you're going, what, Thursday? Is that the game plan?
Thursday, we're going to leave out about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
Maybe a little earlier and head up. And, we're excited to go. I mean, we really are. Look, I do think that this is a team. As I said this year, you know, I think, you know, they've got to get the offensive line fixed. And, look, I've got a good friend up there that plays on the team as well, and Juwan Taylor. So I'm excited to go up and see Juwan. You know, I did it. I covered his camp, you know, did several interviews with him that week. I am extremely excited to see. I've never seen Juwan in Jacksonville, so I'm pumped up to go see the former Cocoa Tiger do his thing up in Jacksonville as well.
All right, if we're going at 5 a.m., you're driving. I'll sleep in the back. Okay?
That's fine.
It's early, man. Early. But you know what? You started this conversation with this, Alan Z. It's like, you have to leave at 5 a.m. because you got to practice at 8 a.m., right? Because of the heat.
That's correct.
It's too much, man. It is. We kind of talked about this last week. What's going on for high school football? Because I know they got camp starting this week.
Well, really not much. They're in shells, helmets, and jerseys. You know, they'll put the pads on, I think, after the first week. And then that's when we really get involved. Right now, our major concentration and focus is on volleyball. Getting the young ladies into the studio and getting them interviewed. We had an astronaut in last night, Kylie Redfern, Claire Pavick, and Coach Diego Perez. We're Merritt Island. We've already done Vieira. We're going to be doing Satellite. So, Melbourne, you know, we're very, very excited about that. We're also taking the time this week to talk to some of the football programs about the pitfalls of, you know, social media, about how to interview, some of the do's and don'ts, because look, you can throw an entire scholarship away, Mark, in the blink of an eye with one social media post. There are numerous examples to cite. And, you know, look, I mean, kids are going to know Paul Pierce. You know, they're going to know Paul Pierce is sitting at a poker table drinking with strippers all over him. And then 3 days later, he's fired by ESPN, right? They're going to know about that. But they're not going to know about the young man out in California who had a full ride to go play college football, opened up a YouTube channel, and was on there cussing, and then ended up having to go. He went from a D1 P5 school to got to go play at Norfolk State. And there's nothing wrong with playing at Norfolk State. But when your scholarship is in the SEC and now you're going to Norfolk State, there's a major difference in that. And I think kids today, student athletes today, need to be made aware of those pitfalls. And I equate it to driving. You know, when Caleb and I are driving somewhere, and I can tell he's young, now young guys are, even you, you know, sometimes you want to inch out and take that extra, you know, push to try to get out in the middle of traffic to get across the street. My motto when I'm driving, Mark, is wait 10 seconds. Just wait 10 seconds. Think about how many lives could be saved if you waited just 10 seconds, right? And my motto is the same for social media. Pause before you post. Think before you hit the post button.
Very well said. You know, yesterday with Deshaun Watson, there was stuff I was going to write on Twitter, and then I said the hell with it. I'm not writing anything. I'm not. And honestly, yesterday, I didn't even really talk about it on the air. I didn't. Look, I got teams I got to cover here in Florida. I really don't care about the Cleveland Browns after a while. I've just had it. What about you?
No, I agree. Look, I've got my opinions on Deshaun Watson and him personally. I've got my opinions on what I think about this ruling. I've got my opinions on what I think about the NFL in terms of disciplinary procedures. I mean, when you go back over the history and you look at disciplinary procedures in the National Football League, and then you look at some of the suspensions, and if you're Calvin Ridley, what the hell are you thinking today?
That you're a dumbass?
What is going through your mind today that you're out an entire year, and here is Deshaun Watson, 26 counts, okay, and he picks up six games. I mean, look, I know one can't be compared to the other, and I know one is just as detrimental to the game as the other. But the key word there, Mark, is detrimental. Both are extremely detrimental. How one gets six and one gets 18 is beyond me.
So here's the question. Did they look at, okay, he sat out all last year, so then it's not six, it's really like 24. Is that how they kind of look at this in your eyes?
No, I don't think, because don't forget, Mark, a lot of the reason he didn't play was because he wasn't going to take the field for the Houston Texans. This was a contractual thing with him. A lot of this was contractual with Houston. He wasn't going to play. He said, I'm not. He essentially held out is what he did. Now, had he played, he would have then forced the hand of the National Football League to come up with a decision. Okay? But he didn't do that. And so maybe for Deshaun Watson, personally, that's how you look at it. But for me, this is blasphemy, and I don't care who you are, and I don't care about the politics of this. I was raised to have the utmost respect for women. This couldn't be any more far south of that and goes against everything that Roger Goodell stood at that podium and preached 3 years ago following the Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson situations. This, to me, speaks the National Football League has learned absolutely nothing, Mark. Nothing.
If he was a defensive back, he'd be out of the league. It's just because he's got talent and he can play quarterback. That's all it is. That's all they care. And you saw those stupid Browns fans yesterday cheering for him. Like, just cheering and trying to get his autograph. And And then he's not talking to the press. He's just, look, they're the stupid Browns, all right? They're going to be bad again, and now they're on the hook for $230 million. It'll go down as the worst move ever for an NFL franchise. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And look, I'm equally as upset with Deshaun Watson because I think he's personally, his contract is a big holdup for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I personally yes. believe that. Because if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm going, this guy's getting $230 million guaranteed. I don't care that Kyler Murray took $151 million in guaranteed money. I'm better than Kyler Murray. I know I'm better than Deshaun Watson. Mm. So until we get to this point, I ain't signing anything.
I don't blame him. I don't. I was telling my buddy last night on the phone, I think the punishment for Watson should be he should have to play for the Cleveland Browns for every game and just keep losing. Like, the punishment should be he has to play for the Browns every game, and then he's horrible, and the Browns are horrible. That should be the punishment for him.
This is going to prove this is the – the Haslams are a joke of an ownership group.
Yes.
Jimmy and his wife, they're a joke. But this is going to prove to be, and Dolphins fans may have forgotten this already, but I'm 99.9% sure at one point last year he was on his way to become a Miami Dolphin.
I agree.
This is going to turn out to be probably the greatest non-move in the history of the Miami Dolphins franchise.
That's a great point. I thank the football gods that the Dolphins didn't get him. And Tua might not work out, but at least Tua doesn't have all these allegations against him at the same time. I'm sorry. This is nuts.
That's what I wanted. You know, that's the thing we should be discussing. It's a make or break year for Tua, right? Mm-hmm. Look, I'll just say this, you know, whether it's criminally or morally, you know, to take the criminal aspect of this out of it. Yeah, I get it. He's not charged. Mm-hmm. But morally, is this the guy you want representing one of the 30 most elite positions in the world? Is this one of the guys you want doing that?
It's just like Michael Vick. It's the same thing. What do you do with this? And I think with the Browns, okay, so you took Baker Mayfield, which was a controversial pick, and then he played and he got a new, you know, head coach, and they turned it around. They made the playoffs. They broke their streak. They beat the Steelers. Hell, they should have beaten the Chiefs in that round two game. Then last year, he's injured for most of the year, and he plays anyway, and they falter. So then they make him the fall guy, and then they go on, get Watson, don't know what his future is going to be, give him the massive contract, and then trade Baker for a bag of beans to Carolina. Like, what? So who's the opening day starter? Jacoby Brissett. I'm telling you, they're the worst NFL team of all time. It can't get any worse.
I often wonder, we always talk about, and it's funny you bring up Baker Mayfield, because I was thinking about this the other day. I often wonder, you know, we always talk about what are the top three draft picks, like the best drafts, right? Mm. And look, Baker still may pan out, but when you think about the 2018 NFL draft, Baker Mayfield went one, Saquon Barkley went two, Sam Darnold went three. That they could be the worst three overall top three selections in the history of the NFL draft.
You know what's funny? Do you think Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson would have worked in Cleveland if they were taken there?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Because those guys are that good. I do think they would have. I think if Josh Allen were in Cleveland, the Browns would be Super Bowl contenders, Mark. On paper, they have got probably on paper the best roster in the AFC North. On paper. So, yes, I could easily say that. You know, Jackson goes what? 32 to the Ravens there, and then Josh Allen, where was he, 7th to the Bills in that draft? So, I do believe that.
Okay, so you forget. I think, was it 16? I think they traded down. I believe they could have taken Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, and I think traded down. Then, and I could be wrong, Then remember, then they take Myles Garrett with the first pick in 17. And Garrett is a stud, but you could have taken Patrick Mahomes in that draft. And they had no quarterback. Yeah. And then, like you said, and then you could add Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. Those are all those players. But now they have Deshaun Watson. So there you go. There's their
you
guy.
Know, the only pro look, your Pro Bowlers out of that draft came at the 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7 position. Yes, Barkley has made a Pro Bowl. But let's be, and he was the 18 NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. But since then, he's done nothing. Injuries. But Denzel Ward, Bradley Chubb, Josh Allen, I think the Colts took the guard out of Notre guard out of Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson. All Pro Bowlers, all great players. And then I think Minkah Fitzpatrick later to Miami. But not a bad draft. But those top three picks, yeah, I think those three franchises would like to have them over.
The one I think about now is, and you know what I'm going to say. We're here at Alan Slutersinski, Brevard Sports Network. I always love these conversations with you. So if you look back at 17, my Bears should have taken Mahomes. Like, it's the greatest what-if of all time. And it's just, it destroyed the franchise. But I always feel like, and I've said this for a couple years, if we would have just taken Deshaun Watson and he's the quarterback of the Bears, I don't think you kill the Bears because you'd still have Watson over Mahomes. It's still the wrong pick. But now when I look at it, thank God we didn't take Deshaun Watson at the same time. Like, thank the Lord. That didn't happen. Oh, my God. It would have been a... Oh.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, yeah. What Trubisky went second overall in that draft, right?
Yes, which is a disaster. Yes.
Yeah, second overall in that draft. I think he'll be okay for the Steelers this year, but I think Mahomes was 10th. And
don't worry. Don't worry. He'll be great for the Steelers because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, right. No doubt.
Dude, I said this yesterday, but I'm telling you this now. Like, when you see Tom Brady in person, when you're up close to him, and especially with your eye, where, you know, Alan does a great job covering high school football, and he watches college and the NFL. When you see Brady up close, and he's standing by you, and he's throwing that pigskin, it's amazing. Like, I know, he's the GOAT, but you got to see it in person when he's throwing that football. It's amazing. Like,
the thing that I love about standing next to an NFL quarterback when he's throwing the football, and I tell high school kids, I was just telling Mark Hinkle about this. When you stand next to an NFL quarterback and they throw the football, there are two things you hear. You hear the when the ball comes off their fingertips. You hear that. You literally hear that. And then you hear the initial spinach of the football. It's incredible the power with which they throw the football.
And that ball, it's on the money every time. These are the best of the best. I know this is nerd talk. It's like...
Now,
go on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say is like, it could be 35 yards down the field and Brady can make that throw. A lot of human beings can't make that throw. He can. And he doesn't, and I keep hammering this, he doesn't have the strongest arm. He doesn't. But that ball's there every time. Every time.
Buddy, you and I were supposed to have the quarterback challenge over the summer. It didn't work out because Melbourne was putting their new track in.
Yeah.
However, I think the perfect opportunity for that should be when you and I, and Ryan Schneider would love to see this, and so would Blake Bowden and the rest of the Coco Tigers. I think you and I need to go to Coco Tigers camp together and do what we were going to do at Melbourne over the summer up at Coco.
I like it. I really do. I mean, look, you played high school football. You're a quarterback. Can you fling it 40 yards? Can you do that for me?
I can still throw it about 40 yards. I get a little wobbly after that. And look, on Friday nights, a lot of times when I'm covering games, you know, I'll get there early. I go down on the field. A lot of times I'll spin it with the kids a little bit, throw the ball around a little bit with them before the game, get all sweaty and, you know, and they got a towel off before the game. But I still love throwing the football. I love it.
I don't blame you. The guy who did have a massive arm and he could sling it and then just, you know who I'm going to say, because I saw him at Buccaneers camp a couple years ago. Jameis Winston's got a cannon of an arm, but
yeah,
just, he's throwing it to the other team. That's the problem. He really was.
No doubt.
Huh. All right. So what can we check out Brevard Sports Network for today, buddy?
Today we've got some recruiting posts going up. We've got the post up about Coach PJ Jack tonight. We've got Dylan Rita going up. The interview with Dylan Rita tonight. Dylan is a instructor and trainer and strength and conditioning coordinator over at Hoover's Audi. However, he has been called by they still play there's still European professional football leagues, American football leagues in Europe. And Dylan has been called by his former European team to come over and play football this season for them for about 6 weeks. So he's going to go over there next week, and we brought him in to talk to him about that. Dylan's an interesting guy.
Nice.
He went up and tried out for the U.S. bobsled team in Lake Placid last fall. So Dylan's an interesting guy, 31 years old, and going back to play professional football over in Europe.
It's really cool, dude. His name's Alan Slutersinski, Brevard Sports Network. Alan, thanks for your help and have a great day.
Appreciate the time, Mark.